a way of reconciliation that all of us can be reconciled to Him. So anyway, our main passage for this series is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and maybe starting around verse 17, okay? Now, even though it's going to be the main passage, we will obviously be talking about a lot of other passages. Okay, let's read it. Starts off with a very familiar verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Okay, four main points here, and these are things that we're going to talk a lot about in the weeks ahead. First of all, God has reconciled us to God through Christ. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And by the way, we can see that that's a little bit different. We are now ambassadors to this world, calling people to be reconciled to God. Now, I know it may be easy to say, oh yeah, I kind of know all four of those points. And I know we kind of know them up here, but our goal over the next month or so is to really understand what this is talking about and how it affects us, okay? So today we're going to talk about why is there a need for reconciliation? And basically, it's because there's been a break in fellowship. We no longer have fellowship with God since the garden. And so therefore we are in need of reconciliation. Now, there's an important word found in the New Testament. It's called fellowship. In Greek, it's called koinonia. Okay? And let me give you a little bit of the history of this word. I know some of you have heard this before. But originally, this was a Greek word. It was actually an economic term. It wasn't a biblical term. It was economic. And it was used for various trades, such as bricklayers or carpenters or fishermen or whatever. And I'm going to give the example of fishermen. As most of you know, when you go fishing, sometimes you catch fish and sometimes what? You don't. Or you don't catch very much. So, and that could be difficult if you're doing that for a living, right? So what they would do, there would be a group of fishermen, we'll say 12, and they would form a koinonia. And the way it would work is that they would all go fishing, and when they came back, you know, it might be that this person had 42 fish, this one had 3, and people had everything in between. And so what they would do, they put it all together, and then they divide it by 10 or 12 or how many people there were in the koinonia. And then that way, they would always have some income. You know, there wouldn't be any day or maybe a week that was just flat, you know. Now, furthermore, let's say if one of the fishermen, they got caught in a storm, which is very common on the Sea of Galilee, and their boat broke, then guess what? Everyone else in the koinonia would pitch in and would either repair or buy that fisherman's boat, you know. Same thing with nets. Now, you might say, wow, that takes a lot of trust. Exactly. You had to really know these people, and you had to really believe in them. Because if you had a suspicion that, hey, this guy over here, he seems to always come back about noon. You know, he only goes fishing for 3 hours. No wonder he only has, you know, 10 or 12 fish instead of 30 or 40 like the rest of us. And so there has to be a trust relationship, right? And also there has to be a commitment to personal responsibility as well, right? Well, the New Testament writers took this word koinonia, an economic term, and made it into a biblical term, and actually made it even more special, made it even bigger. And they would talk about, that describes the church family, the fellowship between brothers and sisters, that we're committed to one another. We believe in one another. We trust each other. You know, in fact, that word is usually translated fellowship or community or maybe partnership or some type of a shared life. You know, that's really what it means. Now, I know when we kind of think of these words like fellowship, you know, we kind of think, oh, yeah, why don't you come at 10 o'clock in the morning and we'll have some fellowship and have some breakfast. That is not the biblical word for fellowship. You know, koinonia is much richer than that. Okay, now here's something else that we don't often talk about, is that we usually think of koinonia between the brothers and sisters. But really, before we can have it between one another, we have to have it with God. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3 and 4 to begin with. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship, or our koinonia, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. These things we write that our joy may be complete, because otherwise it's not going to happen. Now, let's go on down to verse 5. It says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship or koinonia with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, then we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you catch that? Fellowship or koinonia with one another begins or flows from our koinonia with God, with the Lord. And that's why, like in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, I like this verse. It's it says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship or into a koinonia with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, our house church on Friday night was kind of talking sort of about this, but we're talking about how Jesus has a yoke. You know what a yoke is? You know, it's got two holes, and Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. My yoke is easy. It's light. But we go into a shared relationship with God, with Jesus, don't we? In that yoke. It's a partnership with Him. It's a shared life with Jesus. Actually, Jesus called it, abide in me and me in you. You know, that's another way of saying it. And this was God's original plan for mankind. All the way back in the garden, it says that God walked with man and woman. And man and woman walked with God. You know, and that's hard for us to imagine. Well, what do you mean? Does God have legs? Does he walk around? Well, somehow, yeah, he was there in the garden. And they enjoyed koinonia. That was God's intention. But after they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what was their first response? To hide from God. To be ashamed. They covered themselves. Why? Because fellowship with God, or koinonia with God, was broken, right? There was a break in fellowship with God. And how could it ever be? How could they ever be reconciled again? And of course, we know through Jesus and only through Jesus, right? No other way. Colossians chapter 1. And by the way, I encourage you to jot these notes down, take a picture of the screenshot, something like that. Look at these verses again, because they're powerful. Okay, Colossians 1, starting verse 20. And through him, talking about Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, that's that break in fellowship, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. See, Jesus at the cross became a sacrifice for us in order that we would be reconciled 100% to God. His blood was shed. His body was broken that we might be cleansed of all sin and corruption. Remember, we just read this, but 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Our fellowship, our koinonia with God has been broken. That's the state of the human race. And therefore, we are in desperate need for reconciliation. God, in sending his son to the world to die for us, provided a way for that reconciliation. And that's the only way that man will ever be reconciled to God. And we have a responsibility to share that with the world. Because deep down, the world needs and really wants. They might not be able to express it that way, but they want reconciliation with God. We could talk about this in the next couple of weeks, but why are people so agitated toward God? You know, almost hostile. Because there's not reconciliation, and they feel bad about themselves. And so they, in their mind, they think, well, God did this to me, and God did this. But what they want the message of reconciliation. Only way we can be reconciled is through Jesus. Not by being a good person. Not by being a religious person. That means trying to kind of do religious activities. Even Christianity, or certainly not a lot of other religions. Actually, you can say it this way. All problems in this world can be traced to a broken relationship with God. That's why this message of reconciliation is needed. Think about things that people are concerned about in this world. Problems of poverty, crime, political corruption, war, injustice, racism, all have their roots in things like pride or greed or jealousy or bitterness, or unforgiveness. And problems that we have as individuals, the same thing. They all have roots in our selfishness and our sinfulness. But this is the good news, or the important news for us. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And you know what? That's our primary purpose on earth. Even more than other things that we are committed to. In other words, we could say, well, you know, I'm committed to provide for my family. That's good. I'm committed to caring for my children. Hey, that's good. I'm committed to be good at what I do at work or at school. That's good. But that's not your primary calling. Your primary calling is the ministry of reconciliation. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to experience the most life and joy. Before we can be engaged in this great news, this wonderful ministry of reconciliation, we must be fully reconciled to God. Now, we often think of reconciliation with God as something that needs to happen between a non-believer and God. And yes, that's where reconciliation begins. And that's going to probably be the focus of this series. But it is possible and happens quite regularly that those of us who've experienced reconciliation at one time have slipped back where there's maybe not a complete break in fellowship, but it's a partial break in fellowship in koinonia. Even though we're still redeemed, we're still regenerated, but fellowship with God has been broken. How does that happen? One word, sin. Unconfessed sin, because you know what? We all sin, right? So every time we sin, it's not like the fellowship is completely broken. But if when it's unconfessed and we continue to walk in it, it creates a barrier, a wall. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear." You know, sometimes we kind of think, I don't know whether God's hearing me. Well, this might be a verse for you. "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." Now, I know he literally hears, but not hears you in the sense that he's responding, because there's a break in fellowship. There's a break. And we need to take sin seriously. Usually, we think of sin in terms of big sins. And they certainly cause a separation. I'm not minimizing that. But more often in the lives of Christians, it's the smaller sins. I mean, really, God doesn't call them big and small, but I think we do sometimes. And they're often dismissed as, well, they're too small, or maybe it's that's just something everybody else does. That can make it a lot more dangerous. And yes, they can separate us from God as well. They can cause a break in fellowship. Especially if they're unconfessed, they're persistent in our lives, and they're excused. I mean, we're excusing them. Oh, yeah, but everyone does that. That's okay. Okay, let me kind of mention a few. Things like bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Those are things that just get into our life and they stay there. And we might say, yeah, but we have a reason why we're bitter. Yeah, I might be a little bit bitter. I'm not as bitter as this person is, though. I'm just a little bit bitter because this person has done this to me. It's still bitterness. And it causes a separation. or unforgiveness. It can cause a separation, a break in fellowship. Now, note that these are not single action type things. You know, like there's a single action type of sin, such as I steal something. You know, that happens, you know, like in 2 minutes or something. That's bad, needs to be confessed. But these are more deadly in that they're more subtle, and like bitterness is something that stays with you. Or there's things like pride or greed or lust or distraction. You know, you allow yourself to be distracted by the pursuit of pleasures and riches of this world. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a place you have to make a living. It's okay to save. In fact, it's even commended in the scriptures. You know, it's important that you provide for your family. But if you're pursuing that above God and His purpose for your life, then something's wrong. Or maybe it's just a lack of trust. That's sin too, because that leads to worry and fear, anxiety. I want to ask you, is there broken fellowship in your life today? Or is there partial fellowship, but not 100%? I challenge you, be reconciled to God. There's no reason, no good reason anyway, for you not to be reconciled now. And God's made it real easy. You know, sometimes we think, oh, to get reconciled, that means I'm going to probably have to do all sorts of things. Maybe over the next 3 months, I'll try to clean up my act and then I'll kind of get reconciled. No, that's a deception. It's pretty easy to be reconciled to God. It starts by just going to Him with a sincere heart. Confess your sins before Him. That's what it says in 1 John 1:7. And be specific. Don't kind of say, Lord, I guess I've kind of been sinful lately. No, say, Lord, there's pride in my life. I've allowed myself to be greedy in little ways, but very important ways. Lord, I've allowed resentment to get into my heart. Be specific. And then there's that word repent. You know what that word repent means? It doesn't mean like, I know there's some even Christian traditions that if you repent, you crawl on your knees to church, or you've got to do something to, you've got to do some type of self-abusement to kind of show that you're sorry. No, biblically, repent means something pretty simple. It means, literally, it means to change directions. I'm going this way, and I turn around and start going this way. That's what repent is. So if it's resentment or bitterness you're dealing with, you say, Lord, I confess it to you, and I repent. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to walk away from bitterness and resentment. And then you also are probably going to have to say something like this too. Lord, I can't do this by myself, because you can't. You know, will you live through me, because He is living in you. Live through. Lord, help me to be able to leave this behind. Now, you might fall. In fact, you probably will. That thought of unforgiveness may come back up. That greed might kind of rise up again. But you say, no, I've repented. I've turned the other direction. I'm leaving that behind. And then you thank God. What does that take? 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 15? You don't have to do anything else. But it's a sincere heart. You don't have to, okay, I've got to memorize this passage and read 5 books of the Bible before I'm going to feel good with God again. No, no. That's the enemy telling you that. Getting reconciled to God is much easier. God made it that way. He's the one that initiated reconciliation. And when you fall away, He's there to kind of grab your hand and say, come back. I sense that there's probably a lot of us this morning who are living in maybe partial fellowship with God. And we have rejected Him. After all, you're here this morning, you might pray, you might read, but deep down inside, you know that there's something that's caused a break between you and God. You know, maybe even your husband doesn't know, or maybe your wife doesn't know, or your children don't know, or your parents don't know. That's okay. But God does, and you do too. I want you, if that's you, which I think there's probably a lot of us, I want us to take a few minutes now and we're going to pray. And we're going to get fully reconciled to God. And you can mark this down. What is it? July 11th, I think. Yeah, I think so, because it's Adelaide's birthday, you can mark this down as a day that was a turning point in my life. Now, if it happens again down the week, confess it. That's the beautiful thing. You confess your sins before Him, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. That's what it says in 1 John 1, verse 7. We've read it 3 times now, Okay, let's pray, okay? And I want us to start with this prayer by, there's going to be a moment of silence, because I want you to confess. I don't know what you need to confess, but you do. And then I will kind of lead us in the rest of the prayer. Lord, just reveal to us anything that might be separating us from You. Lord, You want us to be in full koinonia with You, to have a shared life with You. So, Lord, we confess those things to You right now. It may be one particular thing. It may be two or three things. I don't know. Be specific. Tell the Lord now. Lord, we come to You with a sincere heart. And Lord, we also choose now to repent of these sins. And Lord, by that we mean we are turning around and we're walking away from those things that have caused us to be separated from You. Lord, we also acknowledge that in our own strength, we are too weak to leave behind things that we need to leave. Lord, we need Your strength. And Lord, we thank You that You are living inside of us. Your Holy Spirit gives us strength and an inner power to follow Your will and to follow You 100%. So Lord, we acknowledge that before You now. And Lord, we also just want to thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You want to be reconciled to us. And Lord, we hardly need to, all we have to do is just kind of reach out for You. You're the one that comes to us. And we thank You for that. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You that You died at the cross for us, that we would be reconciled with You. Thank You, Lord. And this week, as we are tempted to slip back into maybe an old pattern of sinfulness. And again, Lord, it may be little things no one even knows about. But Lord, You do and we know. And when we start slipping back, remind us to come before You again and do exactly what we're doing this morning. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Okay, God wants to be fully reconciled to every one of us. Okay? And what you did, if you did that sincerely this morning, that is good enough. You will be reconciled. Now, I realize that sometimes people have a need to talk to someone. If you feel like you have a need to talk to someone, have someone pray with you, just to pray for strength to keep, please see either myself or Judy, Bobby, Brianna, Eric, Hannah, you know, or some trusted brother or sister, okay? And say, listen, can I get together with you this week? Even for half an hour. And let's just, I need to kind of tell you about something. And I want you to pray for me. I want you to hold me accountable. Okay? That's a good thing to do. Okay? Amen. Okay.